Javier Couso explicó la actividad del grupo en su visita a Siria.
En Alepo nos encontramos con las autoridades religiosas, el arzobispo maronita, el representante protestante, presbiteriano y también el jefe de Cáritas en Alepo. Estuvimos con el gobernador de Alepo y con la Medialuna Roja. En Damasco nos reunimos con la Comisión de Asuntos Exteriores y Árabes, con su presidente y con 5 diputados, la mayoría de ellos independientes. Nos reunimos con la presidenta del Parlamento sirio. Estuvimos en la oficina del enviado especial de Naciones Unidas, con el ministro de Reconciliación, con la embajadora de la República Checa, con el presidente de Siria y con el ministro de Asuntos Exteriores.
Finalmente, en la rueda de prensa, el eurodiputado Couso compartió sus impresiones personales de esa visita a Siria.
Bueno, yo simplemente voy a reseñar en muy poquito tiempo lo que me pareció más resaltable de esta visita, que fue la reunión con el Ministerio de Reconciliación, que dirige un conocido opositor, Ali Haidar, cuyo hijo fue asesinado, que además ante nuestras preguntas que le hacíamos de por qué había aceptado siendo opositor, él dijo que después de la muerte de su hijo quería ayudar a que su país no se desmembrara. Ese proceso de reconciliación, que incluso nos corroboró en la reunión que tuvimos con la delegación de la ONU, ha conseguido progresos increíbles, ¿no? Más de 100 procesos de reconciliación en diferentes pueblos y ciudades. Ha conseguido que las zonas de donde viven 3 millones de personas se han podido beneficiar y ahora son zonas tranquilas. Se ha amnistiado a 80.000 personas y 30.000 han salido de prisión. ¿Qué hacen? Pues con los mediadores que hay en la sociedad árabe, hablan con los grupos armados y les ofrecen dos alternativas. Una es deponer las armas, con lo cual se le regulariza inmediatamente su situación y se le da una amnistía, y pueden integrarse además dentro de la policía o de las fuerzas armadas. Y lo que es inédito para mí es que aquellos que no quieren entregar las armas se les deja salir con seguridad hacia la zona de Idlib.
Era el eurodiputado del Grupo de Apoyo al Proceso de Paz en Siria, Javier Couso.
Activistas e investigadores denuncian un alarmante incremento de compra de armas estadounidenses del gobierno mexicano. Las armas, dicen, son usadas para cometer violaciones a los derechos humanos. Norma Martínez reporta.
El niño se dijo, y ahí lo tiraron sobre la amnistía, lleva una niña de 8 años. De 7 años la niña vio todo como matar.
Las armas estadounidenses que de manera legal o ilegal entran a México son instrumentos de muerte y desaparición forzada. Así lo aseguraron activistas e investigadores en la presentación del documental ¿A dónde llegan las armas? Políticas de Estados Unidos y derechos humanos en México.
Entre esta guerra que tienen entre cárteles de la droga y entre las armas que están pasando ilegalmente a nuestro país y legalmente, entre comillas, porque finalmente son armas que efectivamente pasan legalmente a nuestro país, pero en manos de quién van a quedar, porque muchas veces ni siquiera llegan a manos de las Fuerzas Armadas.
Alertaron que el gobierno mexicano ha incrementado dramáticamente la compra de armas estadounidenses y de otros países en un contexto de mayor violación a los derechos humanos cometida por Fuerzas Armadas y organizaciones criminales. John Lindsay Poland es un investigador estadounidense y codirector de la película.
Entre el periodo de 2007 y 2011, hasta el periodo de 2012 a 2016, casi se triplicó la venta de armas de diferentes países hacia México, y eso tiene que ver con las entregas de armas. También hay acuerdos de armas entre Estados Unidos y México entre 2012 y 2015 de más de 3 mil millones de dólares, que incluye helicópteros, incluye armas de fuego, incluye tanques y vehículos blindados y todo tipo de equipo militar.
En el documental ¿A dónde llegan las armas? Presenta entrevistas de familiares de desaparecidos, ejecutados y defensores de derechos humanos que critican duramente las políticas estadounidenses aplicadas en México.
Sabemos que Estados Unidos es un país con una industria bélica bastante desarrollada y que precisamente México es un país sujeto a la directriz, a la dirección de las políticas públicas estadounidenses. Y eso tiene que ver, por ejemplo, con la aceptación del plan, de la iniciativa del Plan Mérida. El problema aquí, que la compra de ese armamento no ha sido nunca realmente para combatir a los grupos de la delincuencia organizada. Eso del armamento que se ha comprado ha servido principalmente para reprimir, para de alguna manera inhibir la organización y la protesta del pueblo.
Amaya Ordorica, integrante de la Comisión Mexicana de Defensa y Promoción de los Derechos Humanos, dice que la militarización está ocurriendo bajo diferentes gobiernos.
Tan solo entre el 2007 y el 2011, las Fuerzas Armadas, bueno, la Sedena, ejerció 230 mil millones de pesos en su presupuesto, pasando de 12 millones en el 2007 a 82 millones en el 2012. Este aumento continuó a lo largo del siguiente sexenio. Entre el 2013 y el 2016, la Sedena estaba ejerciendo más de 269 mil millones en un periodo, o sea, una cantidad mayor que el periodo entre 2007 y 2011, que además es un periodo más largo, ¿no?
Asegura que entre el 2006 y el 2015 las Fuerzas Armadas Mexicanas detuvieron a más de 70 mil civiles en diversos operativos.
Este contexto de violencia generalizada, agravado por esta política de seguridad militarizada, pues nos ha llevado a un contexto de violaciones graves a derechos humanos, donde tenemos más de 150 mil homicidios desde el 2006, más de 30 mil personas desaparecidas, más de 280 mil personas que han sido desplazadas, como explicaba Olga en el documental, por la violencia de sus comunidades. Y tenemos una situación donde la tortura se ha vuelto una práctica generalizada en nuestro país. Y no solo se ha vuelto generalizada, sino que las Fuerzas Armadas juegan un papel clave en la continuidad de esta práctica. De las 190 recomendaciones por tortura que ha emitido la Comisión Nacional de Derechos Humanos entre 2006 y 2015, 45 reconocen a la Sedena como autoridad responsable y 17 a la Secretaría de la Marina.
Laura Carlsen, directora del Programa de las Américas, dice que desde la entrada en vigor de la iniciativa Mérida en el 2007, las armas estadounidenses han fluido en grandes números.
Ahora, ¿por qué militarizar a México por parte de los Estados Unidos? Ahí está el asunto que se ha mencionado de los recursos naturales, que son muy importantes para los inversores y para la economía de los Estados Unidos. Con el ejército, las fuerzas armadas en las calles, esto es un factor muy fuerte de inhibición de luchas sociales y de represión de luchas sociales, lo hemos visto en muchos lugares ya, en protección de esos recursos naturales. Es una parte de lo que un subsecretario del Estado del Departamento de Estado llamó armando al TLC, es decir, protegiendo nuestra área de interés económico con el TLC a través de la militarización de México. Y en ese sentido también están presionando para la aceptación de la ley de seguridad interior para reglamentar esta como una fuerza de ocupación permanente, claro, desde las propias Fuerzas Armadas de México, sin embargo, con una agenda que es ajena a la verdadera agenda de seguridad nacional de ese país, porque es una agenda impuesta desde afuera.
Los investigadores y activistas también acusaron a México de violar derechos humanos de migrantes bajo el llamado Programa Frontera Sur, instaurado por el gobierno Obama después de la crisis de madres y niños centroamericanos que arribaron a Estados Unidos por la violencia en sus países. Araceli Rodríguez Nava, madre de un policía federal desaparecido junto a 6 compañeros y un civil, es integrante del Movimiento por la Paz con Justicia y Dignidad. Ella recuerda que en su visita a Estados Unidos supo de la facilidad para comprar un rifle de asalto.
Yo estuve en la caravana de Estados Unidos en Albuquerque y me tocó estar en una armería. Yo misma pregunté cuánto costaba una arma R-15 llamada, denominada cuerno de chivo. Me dijeron que 14 mil pesos. Pregunté para qué servía, me contestaron que para ir a cazar animales. Les dije que cómo podía tener una, cómo la pedía, podía comprar, y únicamente me contestaron que solamente si tenía el dinero, que no importaba, que así me la vendía. Di cuenta clara que en Estados Unidos sirve para matar animales, aquí en mi país sirve para matar seres humanos.
El investigador John Lindsay Polland aseguró que para detener la violencia en el país, tanto Estados Unidos como México deben cambiar sus políticas para frenar el narcotráfico.
El gobierno de Estados Unidos tiene un poco de esquizofrenia en ese sentido, porque por un lado expresa preocupación por las violaciones de los derechos humanos, pero por otro lado cada vez más depende de la industria militar para su economía, por un lado, y también por su propio consumo de equipos militares. Es decir, si Estados Unidos vende más unidades de un arma o un avión militar a otros países, cada unidad sale más barato para las propias Fuerzas Armadas de Estados Unidos.
Videos de la conferencia de prensa pueden ser vistos en la cuenta Facebook del Informativo Pacífica.
Ese reporte fue preparado por Norma Martínez. Y así concluye esta edición del Informativo Pacífica. Agradecemos la colaboración de todos los medios y personas que hicieron posible este programa. A nombre de Toshley y de Norma Martínez, se despide de tu amigo de siempre, Fernando Velázquez. Gracias por acompañarnos.
Good evening, my friends. Afternoon and day. This is our duck here, asking you to help us find a new studio location. $500 to the one that can provide. If you know such a spot, it needs, a bathroom, electricity, ability to connect internet and telephone. Dry would be nice. We all thank you in advance for your support of this truly community-operated pirate radio station. 101.3 FM, freakradio.org. Send us an email with your knowledge. frsc@freakradio.org. We thank you in advance.
Bike Church Community Bike Shop and Tool Cooperative. It's open every Monday through Saturday, 3 p.m. to 7 p.m. Downtown Santa Cruz, 703 Pacific Avenue, Suite B. Call 425-BIKE. That's 425-BIKE for the Bike Church Community Bike Shop and Tool Cooperative. Do not need to be a mechanic to use the Bike Church do-it-yourself repair facility. There are folks, church ministers there, mechanics, that are there to teach you how to repair your bicycle. Encourage people to learn by getting their hands dirty. Familiarize yourself with the machine and fix your bike. That's what it's all about. It's like $5 for a drop-in rate, $20 for a monthly membership. There's a website here, santacruzhub.org/bikechurch. Check it out there. Again, Bike Church Community Co-op, Tool Cooperative, Monday through Saturday, 3 p.m. to 7 p.m., 831-425-BIKE. They're located at 703 Pacific Avenue, Suite B, downtown Santa Cruz.
This is Ward Churchill saying, get yourself a mind transplant. Listen to Free Radio Santa Cruz, 101 FM.
Coming up next on the stream of Free Radio at freakradio.org, it's the online Bathrobes Pierre's Broadsides, a twice-weekly show. This is the Thursday, March 16th, 2017 show. I'm Robert Norris. I'll be with you for 2 hours. Lots of interesting interviews, updates on homeless folks taking over their own sleep out in front of City Hall last night. Reports from Salinas, from West White and Dread, poetry from Berkeley with Julia Vinograd, and a special report from First They Came for the homeless, covering lots of stuff, but mostly Berkeley, and how to put together an encampment that seems to work.
They simply make me nap. And ditties romantic drive me nearly frantic. I think they're all full of pap. History's making, nations are quaking. Why sing of stars above? For while we are waiting, Father Time's creating new things to be singing of. Sing me with heat in it, appealing with feeling and meat in it. Sing me a song with social significance, or you can sing till you're blue. Let meaning shine from every line, or I won't love you. Sing me of wars and sing me of red lines. Tell me of front page news. Sing me of strikes and last minute headlines. Press your observation in syncopation. Sing me a song with social significance. There's nothing else that will do. It must get hot with what is what, or I won't love you. I want a song that's satirical, putting the mirror into miracle.
Folks listening, if you've got comments to the show, we don't have a phone line in because we don't have a studio. You find one for us, you get $500 if you can give it to us for a year, or I should say rent it to us for a year, or give us a tip where we can rent it to provide more information about that. And we're looking for a 10x10 space with Wi-Fi, bathroom, electricity, jacuzzi optional. Hey, just go to the freakradio.org website, where you probably are now, and leave a message or give me a call. You can also call me about any other issues raised on this show at 423-4833. 423-4833. As for actually getting back on the air, that should happen hopefully next week or the week after. The individual who's going to help put it up has been out of the town on a personal emergency. And he will be coming back next week. Bad weather is coming up next week from what the internet says. Looks like a drizzle and showers Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, which may make it difficult to put up the antenna, but perhaps later in the week and perhaps the week after. I don't know. It's also going to make it wet for folks outside, which kind of brings me around to this next phone interview, which I did a few minutes ago. This show is being pre-recorded on Thursday afternoon, March 16th, a few hours before broadcast time, because we don't have a studio to broadcast from. And it's going to be, it's going to be wet weather for Freedom Sleep Out 89 coming up next Tuesday, on the 21st, but apparently there are going to be Freedom Sleepouts before then. There was last night. There may be another one tonight. You're going to hear more about that from Keith and Abby Samuels, who, aside from supplying food 3 days a week and generally raising important issues in the community with the group Food Not Bombs, they saw a bunch of homeless folks staying there at the sidewalk area in front of the city council area, the city council courtyard, as it's called, the city council building, on the sidewalk at what is every Tuesday night a kind of safe zone, that is to say, a zone where at least rarely, if ever, I don't even know if there has been a citation in the last year and a half on that sidewalk strip during the Tuesday protests, the Tuesday freedom sleepouts, as they're called, for the actual crime of sleeping or camping, as some confused folks like to describe it. Sleeping at night is not camping. Sleeping at night is something people have to do because of the nature of the human condition. Camping is something people with homes go off and do in order to have a fun weekend. That's not what unhoused folks do. Here is an interview about the situation that happened last night. That was Wednesday night, the 15th, which was one night after the usual Tuesday sleepout, which I'll be giving a fuller report on Sunday when I do a morning show starting at 9:30 and running through 1 or 2 in the afternoon. Usual about this report you're about to hear is that although I've occasionally heard of folks coming back to sleep on the sidewalk in front of City Hall on non-Tuesdays, people have to sleep seven nights a week, actually, believe it or not, even if they're outside, is that it happened in such numbers, and who knows, it may become a habit. People may suddenly start believing they're entitled to sleep legally, not anywhere and everywhere, but somewhere. We'll see.
All right, so I'm on the line with Keith McHenry, who's packing goes. Goodness, I don't know where he's going. But Keith,
University of Oregon.
University of Oregon for one of your infamous lengthy speeches, perhaps?
Yep, definitely so. We got to do it.
Well, the good news is that I have successfully recorded and downloaded but not uploaded the presentation last Friday you did at the Resource Center for Nonviolence, and this is for listeners as well. I'll be playing the second half of it this Sunday, and it's about an hour long. I played the first half of it last Sunday on the Bathurst Pierre's Broadside Show.
And if you want, you can hear that as part of a very long show I did on the, I guess it was the 12th of March. You can find it online on the Huff, Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom website. That's huffsantacruz.org, H-U-F-F, Santa Cruz, all one word, all small letters, .org. And then just click on the name of the show, which is Bathrobes, Piers, Broadsides. And then the further click on latest shows, and that's the top show at the top of a list of hundreds of old Bathrobes, Piers, Broadside shows. And the show, the problem is the show does have a number of technical glitches, but if you go forward in the audio file, you'll be able to find the first half of this interesting historical presentation that Keith McHenry presented last Friday at the Resource Center, as he was kind of providing some background and some inspiration for doing some activism here in Santa Cruz that might involve creating some real changes and taking some real risks. There weren't a lot of people in the room, 40. That's not a huge number of people, but it was people who were very interested, and who knows, haven't heard yet that people have formed any affinity groups or have started to take any action on what was discussed there, but it's only been a week, so Patience. I must learn patience. Keith often goes through the history of Food Not Bombs and his own involvement, how he started, where it came from, and he always seems, at least maybe I keep forgetting, and it always seems fresh and new to me, because he always seems to provide something new to the account. And I encourage you, if you haven't heard it already, to review the show. It's online, huffsantacruz.org, and you can find it under old shows, and that would be the March 12th show. But you'll be hearing the second edition of that, the second half of that, on Sunday, this coming Sunday. That'll be the 19th.
Oh, cool.
I thought it was pretty good. And I, of course, the reason I'm calling you is because today, well, not last night, you spent the night in front of City Hall, even though it was a Wednesday night. You want to talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, so actually Abby happened to go by and notice that there was basically people sleeping in the same way as the normal Freedom Sleepers. It was really intense, you know, like laying out on this along the sidewalk and stuff, like we did on Tuesday nights. And we even had a garbage bag and stuff where we normally have it. And it was like, you know, really inspiring. And then she comes by again, and the police are taking people's belongings, and so...
What belongings did you report to you that she saw taken?
What we saw in the video and what she reported was blankets, tarps, sleeping bags, all kinds of things. It was really quite shocking.
Was this off of other people, or was it because they were supposedly abandoned or unattended?
Supposedly abandoned, although you look at the video, you see that there are people there going, no, that's somebody's, and blah, 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 you know, it's really heavy. Mm-hmm. And they were neatly wrapped up next to one another, and, you know, like, it was very shocking and sad, even for those of us who... witnesses so often, you know.
Where can people see this video?
On YouTube, on the Santa Cruz Funeral Bombs channel.
Okay, and
you can also see so many things on there. The other one is an officer driving by yelling at the people to wake up and shine this light on people in the middle of the night in a rainstorm and yelling, you got to get out, you know, take down your tent, take down your tent. And just like, what the hell?
This was, of course, not last night, right?
Yeah, this is a while back.
But the video, the first video you mentioned was of yesterday, last night in the early evening?
Yeah, before it was even dark. And it's just really tragic. And one of the people's belongings was had just gotten out of the hospital and just take his stuff, and then you see him like going around like, where's my stuff? I want the back, I need the back, you know. It's just outrageous.
So, but you and Abby ended up spending the night there?
Yeah, because we wanted to just show solidarity that they'd actually organized their own sleep out, so to speak. It was, you know, that we wanted to be in solidarity with them to support what they're doing. And so we spent the night, and then rangers came and harassed people and were condescending and a little annoying in the morning, like normal. And so that was...
But no one got any tickets that night?
No, nobody got any tickets.
And people slept on the sidewalk rather than, let's say, under the eaves of City Hall or in the so-called courtyard.
Yeah, no, area. They just tried to wake one guy up and move him, and eventually he moved just on his own anyway. So,
How many people spent the night, would you estimate?
I think we counted about 20 people. So,
and there was no food was provided, I take it?
No food was provided. So it was pretty amazing that you had 20 people and no food.
What about the infamous trash, poo-poo, feces, and needles that were strewn everywhere?
Oh, yeah, right. That was kind of amazingly... if you look at the video, you see that there's very little trash out there. And, in fact, they had a trash bag, and one of the items that the police took was a trash bag.
Well, maybe they're trying to do trash pickups. Did you ever think of that, Keith?
Yeah, Robert. Why don't you... Or can I put you on with Abby? She actually knows more details.
Sure.
Just a second. Is that okay, Abby? Yeah.
So we're talking with Abby Samuels, who has also spent the night there. Hi, Abby. I think we're talking with Abby.
I'm on the radio.
You're not on the air, but you're on the. I'm audioing you.
Oh, you're audioing me.
You're being audioed, woman. So watch out. I've heard that, you know, that there was, you videoed a lot of it, there were 20 people sleeping, it was a homeless organized event, they stole blankets and property, and one guy got out of jail and he was anguished about the whole thing, and the rangers,
they have it all in video.
And the rangers, and the video is at the Santa Cruz Food Not Bombs website, people want to get it, or it's YouTube. Is there more that you think is important that you want to add to this?
I think it's there's a couple points. One point is they complain that the homeless don't clean up themselves. They took their broom. They're cleaning up after themselves. they had the garbage bag attached to the light post, just the way we do, and it was full to the max of garbage. They were cleaning everything up on their own, and they took away their broom, not to mention their belongings like a tent, like sleeping bags, blankets, clothes.
What did the people do, Abby, whose property had been taken? Did they essentially just shiver through the night, or did you have any sense of that?
Well, there are two people's belongings that I know. One was Enrique. Someone who was also homeless claimed that two of those blankets were his as they're putting away. So he gave Enrique those blankets back. But he didn't have his tent. He didn't have his sleeping bags. There are two of them, really nice ones, too. And so what did he do? I didn't ask him if he's cold over the night, but I did interview him in the morning, and I have that on video, a video interview with him, because he didn't realize that there were a lot more taken. So I showed him the video, and he goes, oh, there's my tent. There's my tent pole. There's my clothing. Oh, there's my other sleeping bag, and there's my other sleeping bag. So, you know, that's how that went with Enrique. The other person is this person named Michael who came, arrived, and all the stuff was gone. And they told him that they can go to the police station and pick it up within 60 days. So I asked Enrique to go there and report back to me on what they tell him.
And that would be
that is true.
That would be Tuesdays.
I don't know how that process.
That would be Tuesdays and Thursdays for only the short 2-hour period, 12:30 to 2:30, right?
He was aware of that.
Right. Were there other people also sleeping? I understand there was 20 people. I'm not sure if Keith said on the sidewalk or whether he also meant at the library area, civic center.
Oh, I went through. It was a beautiful showing. There were 18 people on the sidewalks. No one was sleeping. There's one person that showed up later that was on the red bricks. But everyone was sleeping on the sidewalk. And then if you add Keith and me, that would make 18. And then if you add Pat and John, who slept in their car, that would add up to 20.
And this was on the sidewalk right in front of City Hall, or it included the library and the Civic Auditorium?
In front of City Hall. We almost had it all filled. There might have been around 6 more spots left.
Do you think they intend to return tonight?
Right, probably, yes. There's a couple people that believe it's safe. First Alarm walked by several times and did not bother anyone until 6:30 in the morning.
And so it may well be the case that tonight, Thursday night, the 16th, there will be another sleepout in front of City Hall. And if anyone hearing this broadcast is in the Santa Cruz area and wants to either join them or go down and spend some time with them, bring along some video equipment to kind of provide some protective backup for them in case police do come and try to steal their gear or harass them or cite them for life-sustaining behavior that is actually innocent, but then police will attempt to find some basic pretext for moving them along or moving them out, go do it. This is right in front of the City Hall area on the sidewalk, right across from the main library, just down from the Civic Auditorium in downtown Santa Cruz. The actual address is 809 Center Street, if you want to go down there and check it out. This will be broadcast probably between 6 and 6:30, and so it'll still be light. You can go down there and talk with folks. They probably wouldn't mind having some food, bring coffee, bring blankets, bring whatever you'd like to support a visible presence of poor people in Santa Cruz that will, in essence, clarify that the pseudo-shelter program that's being presented, like, for me, the pseudo-sanctuary ordinance that was passed at City Council 2 nights ago, it doesn't provide any real protection. The sanctuary ordinance at least tries to at least make statements in the right direction. We have laws that criminalize the act of sleeping after 11 o'clock at night for homeless people. I don't say we have them. We are, unfortunately, under them. We are in, they are inflicted on us. That's the Municipal Code 6.36.010 of the... it's the camping ordinance and a subsection that defines camping as sleeping after 11 o'clock at night and makes it a crime. Continuing with Abby Samuels talking about the rangers and not disturbing anyone until
6:30 in the morning. They bothered the person on the red bricks, where it was legal to be on the red bricks
after 6 o'clock. Yeah, exactly.
The rangers came around, usually they come around 7:30, but today they came around 8:15, a little after 8. So I have them doing their usual harassing people. They did find a needle.
Aha!
Aha!
Now we know what's going on there.
Yes, they did.
Now, I know Dreamcatcher, one of the people who's been a long-time freedom sleeper, he spoke to me the other day, and he told me that he still wasn't able to get his property back because he was given this peculiar claim that he couldn't just go down and identify it. He had to have the Parks and Rec ranger who took it come and identify it for him. And for some reason, in spite of two or three trips, including one with Pat Colby, they couldn't find the ranger or something to that effect. They continued to hold his property.
I did not know that.
That's his account, anyway. So I don't know what the real story is, because, you know, I only know secondhand. But you might ask him about that. I also know that this morning was another occasion where you may have spent an eventful night on another one on the sidewalk. Your second in two nights, but you also went to court with. With Max Green from Monterey, who has been regularly coming over to help out as a freedom sleeper and has gotten numerous tickets. And he's a regular working person. He's housed. He's very devoted to this. How did that go?
He doesn't want me to talk about it too much, but I can basically say that his trial is next month. Is it trial?
Well, it depends on whether he wanted a pretrial hearing or not.
I guess it's a pretrial hearing. My guess is the 11th.
Mm-hmm. What's he charged with, you know?
The public defender seemed to be compassionate.
Who is the public defender?
I don't mean compassionate like sounded phony. She voiced her opinion on the sleeping bag.
Was she interested in, you know, going out and gathering evidence and so forth? That's often the issue for people in this kind of situation.
She is going to get evidence.
That's good. And what is her name?
I don't know.
So how long did everyone have to wait until this case came up? Frequently the judges put these things at the end of the agenda and people sit there for hours where they just go up and plead not guilty. Did that happen today?
It came... I don't agree. They went through the usual people that have attorneys or are sitting in jail. They went through those people first, which is the usual way, and then they go alphabetically, and every once in a while an attorney would call on someone who may be a translator, so they would go first.
Mm-hmm.
But then they go in alphabetical order, and when Max went up, when the G's were called, he had to fill out some paperwork, so he sat down, and then the public defender came and talked to him, and by the time we got back in there, it was break, and then we had to wait. So everyone left except Keith and I, and we stayed until the very end, which was about 11:30.
You know, I guess what I'm also thinking is that mainly the tickets that the Freedom Sleepers have gotten have been infraction tickets, which don't involve an attorney unless some attorney volunteers. And so these, I think, have generally been kept until late in the session. And it sounds like you guys waited until late anyway. But, yeah, I mean, to me the whole process is farcical. But, you know, that's nature of the charges.
Well, I'm always late because I'm in the alphabetical order.
Yeah, right. Samuels.
Yes.
Was Was there much of a crowd there in support of Max?
Pretty good, about 7 people.
Oh, good for that. And were there many...
two people from Monterey and one person from Morgan Hill.
And how about people who are from the unhoused community in Santa Cruz?
There are 4 of us.
Right, although you...
5 of us.
Right, so you and Keith are housed. There were 3 people who were actually unhoused who were there?
No one that was unhoused. I'm not sure of 1-2 people's statuses in Monterey, but all the Santa Cruz people were housed.
Did you see any other cases while you were waiting in the court for Max's that you think deserve comment?
Being, when I was younger and 21, and handcuffed and put in jail for nude sunbathing and a DUI when I was 21, and experienced jail, I can just tell you, the people that are in jail are treated like animals. So dehumanizing, and then they expect them to come out and be quote-unquote rehabilitated. The system is a mess. It was a mess back in 1980, and nothing has changed, but it's gotten worse. So I just feel so much anger toward the entire messed up judicial system, including the jail system. So there wasn't one case that stood out. A lot of DUIs and people that needed drug, were there for drug abuse.
Were there any infraction cases? Were there any infraction cases? I know normally those are dealt with in the basement by what I call basement level Kim Basket. And it's only if you wish to see a judge and disqualify her that you get up into the Department 1 or 2. I take it there were very few, if any, infraction cases, huh?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think there are any. By the way, court, his date is not the 11th. It's the day after Michael Mears' memorial. It's on Wednesday, April 12th.
And what date is that for what?
That is for the pretrial, I guess.
And you know what time it is and what court?
10 a.m., court, Department 2.
Okay. Is there anything more you want to add, Abby?
Yes.
Go ahead.
There's a person in Santa Cruz who, I'm not going to release his name yet until I get total permission from him. But he gives out, you might know who he is, but he gives out free clothing, free food. He spends his own money. He does it in the name of his belief in giving out, helping people, more of a charity church, and he believes. Anyway, it comes from his heart. And so he gives blankets, warmers, food at various places all across the city of Santa Cruz. He was told he wasn't allowed to give out food. He's told he would be arrested. And he was warned. I don't know if he continued giving it out. I don't know what happened with him, but he does it all on his own. The police came knocking on his door, I don't know what time, on his personal door. He opened the door up, and they arrested him, and they took him to jail. He spent 2 days in jail, and did they charge him with anything? Nothing.
Did they have a warrant, do you know? Do they have an arrest?
No, nothing. No.
I'd be curious to make a Public Records Act request to get the paperwork. I mean, there must have been paperwork on what happened as he went to jail, so it sounds like...
Don't you think there's a mugshot, right?
There's a mugshot, and there's some indication of the arrest. If it was SCPD or sheriffs, do we know?
Oh, it was Santa Cruz Police. I'm 90% sure, but I'm not positive. Was it Santa Cruz Police?
He said Santa Cruz Police. Yeah, no, I think it's also, I think you can make a records request to public police to find out all arrests in the last 2 weeks, like to see what they are, who they were, what the charge was, what the officer arresting was, when the arrest was. This is public information. The only thing that you need to swear under penalty of perjury that you're going to use for a journalistic purpose is you have to, if you want to get the victim's name and the victim's address, and if you want to get the arrestee's address, that's a part of the state code that I've recently been made aware of. So, for all you legal fans out there trying to get police records, ask and perhaps you shall get. Who knows?
We'll talk about this more in detail offline. I'd like to. I don't want any more retaliation.
I understand. Well, listen, Abby, thank you.
He's alone. It's not like...
Yeah, no, I understand. Thank you for the update, and we will talk more about it, and I'll be playing this tonight on the stream of Free Radio.
Okay. Thank you.
And I'll talk to you more about some other matters, too, when you have time.
Sounds good. Thanks, Robert.
Thank you.
Oh, one thing. There is one thing.
Yes.
The stories of the Freedom Sleepers, I just want to make it public notice that Keith was never, ever against the ordinance for the sanctuary, Keith McHenry.
That's
was
true.
Never against the ordinance, the sanctuary ordinance. It may have ever.
Yeah, he's clarified that. I actually interviewed him yesterday on that, and the critique of the ordinance that I wrote was not intended to dismiss the idea of a good ordinance, but to say, where's the teeth?
On Sunday, I'm going to play some audio of a discussion that Keith and I had about this issue. The calendar event that I regularly write every week, which gives Keith McHenry as contact person and myself as the person who writes the a series of sort of homeless updates on the event, and it's my opinions that are on this particular weekly announcement of the Freedom Sleeper upcoming event, the misunderstandings, and that it was phrased, denounce City Council's toothless sanctuary law, then join Freedom Sleepers Sleepout 88. And this is my language, my wording, and my belief that the sanctuary ordinance, which is needed, I mean, that you need really not just a law, you need a change in police practices that is backed up by law and backed up by real action from the community. We don't have that. This law isn't that. It doesn't have enough. And when I talked to Ernestina, one of the prime activists around this issue, she came to the Huff meeting on Wednesday. She agreed that was the case, that we needed to work harder, that she had hoped that there'd be some reforms that would actually, that this law could later be strengthened. But it seemed to me that it was a way of maintaining the appearance of change without the substance. Now, what Abby was concerned about was that somehow this made it look like Keith was opposing the law, or that Food Not Bombs was opposing the law, or the Freedom Sleepers were opposing the law. And, of course, none of us, or even I was, I'm not opposing the law in the sense that it, there's nothing wrong with making a statement that it should be the policy of the city not to give out information to Immigration Customs Enforcement and the Department of Homeland Security. No. But there has to be some kind of sanction that would stop people from doing that. If you do, it's a crime and so forth. And that is not included in the law. So that was the intention of this, but some people thought, oh, you're opposing the law, I guess. I mean, nobody came up to me and said that, but apparently some folks did to Keith and Abby. Well, and we hope this doesn't freak them out enough so that they want me to stop writing weekly announcements about the Freedom Sleepers. I'm a bit concerned about that right now, but hopefully that won't be the case.
There's a rose on your gravestone. There's a crucifix on your gravestone. There's a cigarette on your gravestone. Better smoke it. There's a candle on your gravestone. There's a railroad spike on your gravestone. There's a Guinness on your gravestone. Better drink it. And for all the days I've wondered about my own tomorrow, and for all the nights I've laid awake filled with fear and sorrow, well, there's other days I look up at the sky and fall in love, and there's other nights I stay up late cause I just can't get enough. Sometimes it falls apart, sometimes it fits like a glove. Grass blades on your gravestone. There's good words on your gravestone. There's handprints on your gravestone saying hi. Well, there's tears on your gravestone. There's smiles reflecting off your gravestone. Old friends sitting on your gravestone who never say bye. And for all the days I've wondered about my own tomorrow, and for all the nights I've laid awake filled with fear and sorrow, but there's other days I look up at the sky and fall in love, and there's other nights I stay up late cause I just can't get enough. Sometimes it falls apart, sometimes it fits like a glove.
Change is coming, Danny. Become with you.
And get the occasional commercial here. That was Ryan Harvey. And the name of that song was We Never Say Bye. You're tuned to the stream of Free Radio, freakradio.org. This is Bathrobe Spears Broadsides. I'm Robert Norse. Comments on the show, you can call in and leave a message at 423-4833. Indicate whether you want the comments broadcast, whether you just have a question, or you're perhaps making a report about something you've seen on the streets you think the community should know about, maybe having to do with discrimination in a business or harassment by the police, or something positive that you saw. Occasionally we get positive reports about police officers actually helping people out, which is always good news. So next up is an interview with two activists from Salinas, Wes White and his cameraman or traveling photographer companion Dredd, who frequently show up at different events in Santa Cruz and other places concerning particularly civil rights for homeless folks. Wes does a lot of videoing. He videoed the entire homelessness forum last fall that happened when Mike Rhodes came to town. He's been a faithful videoer of Freedom Sleeper events, helped organize and sustain the flagpole community in Salinas at the Salinas City Hall area from March to September of last year, continues to fight for the rights of folks over there. Went north with him to interview folks in Oakland and Berkeley homeless encampments, which I played on Free Radio some weeks back. A couple of interviews with Wes more recently, kind of giving you an update on what's cooking around Salinas. Some of this is a little tongue-in-cheek, but I think it's informative.
So I'm here talking with two activists from Salinas, Dredd and Mr. Wes. And Wes, Dredd, I understand there's going to be a crackdown in Salinas on Chinatown, that there's going to be some action taken against the encampment of people who currently returned to the so-called Chinatown area.
Right.
Yeah. And what, any news about this?
I'm not quite sure. I think Wes can help you a lot more than I can. I don't know.
I will see what he says.
Yes, sir.
So, Wes, what's the deal? You've been to city council. You've implored. You've begged. You've threatened. You've raged. You've pleaded. You've groveled. No, probably not.
We sat on them. Well, we were at the flagpole for 6 months. So, the beginning of March, Salinas Downtown Community Board. The assistant public works director, Don Reynolds, says In 3 weeks, we're going to be clearing everybody out of Chinatown. Basically the same thing that we tried to do last year, and they didn't finish. But, you know, they are going to clear everybody, and they do intend to give everybody a ticket, anybody who decides to try to pitch a tent in after these 3 weeks. So.
How many people will this impact, and what's the fine for the ticket?
How many people will it impact? Probably at least 100, 150 maybe. And the fine, which honestly, everybody needs to take this to court. Anybody who's got a warrant needs to go and reschedule it, get a public defender, and take it to trial. Because the easiest thing, you know, for a win is that 1 out of 12 jury members decide not to call you guilty. So you get a hung jury, or you can get just a completely not guilty verdict.
Now, you've been doing this for a number of years. Has anyone ever taken these cases to court?
Say that again?
Has anyone ever taken a homeless case in the last 2 years in Salinas to court?
Yes, there's one guy that got a ticket last year, and he's still in trial for it this year.
How many times has he had to go to court?
Oh, man. I think 5 or 6 times in the last year.
Has he got a regular job, or is he simply...
No, he's not. He's
sleeping outside the court for fun.
Probably. Well, I mean, officially, I think he's transient as far as an address on his ticket and everything. And then there's a couple more people that are now taking it to trial because we've gotten supportive help with the public defender's office to you know, I mean, they do see that it's unconstitutional, or at least that's their position.
What do you guys have to say?
So, when are these cases, if any, ever going to trial that involve these homeless citations? And what exactly is the crime these people are being charged with?
Exactly. Unlawful camping, trespassing, having a lean-to, or, you know, obstructing the sidewalk, or having a structure connected to a building or a fence.
Which public defender is doing the job of defending yourself?
Well, it's the public defender's office, so they have to come out with a policy, which has been harder to, you know, to follow, I guess. Lots of people have warrants, so the amount of people who are actually willing to come to court, that's probably why they don't have much policy. A lot of people have fled out, so it's much easier to not even care. Hey, 5 minutes and we're done. Thank you.
How many tickets actually have been issued?
I've counted over 200 tickets of trespassing and camping over the last in 2016.
And what about that crusading lawyer, the man of the sonorous voice, Anthony, what's his name?
Anthony France?
Correct.
Okay, well, you know, I think he's helping out more on the national level, trying to...
I'm talking about Salinas and what was promised there. What is he defending any of those people at all?
Well, I think promise might be a little harsh of a way to hold him accountable, but, you know, he's been going pro bono the whole time.
Pro bono doing what?
Doing
in the last 6 months.
Well, in the last 6 months, maybe not so much.
Anything at all?
Yeah, he helped us out with the 1 year anniversary. He helped get Willie Baptist to even come over here and come and check in.
He brought a speaker to the event that we talked 3 months ago. These were his legal skills. He subpoenaed him into coming, or what?
You are the most silliest guy sometimes. So
I don't like attorneys who present themselves as though they're helping people, but then disappear from the scene.
Okay, but they did help while he was around, though, too. There you
go. More napkins? We're a messy group. We'll pause briefly. Well, no, Wes, you're telling me that one way to get rid
change,
okay. One way to get rid of an activist is to give them a job doing something else. And you mentioned a woman named Rita. Tell me about
her. Oh, well, she was an activist. She was helping us out, and she even got on the Salinas Downtown Community Board as a board member. of the homeless community.
Do you live in her vehicle near Chinatown?
No. She had her own tent, I suppose, her own setup, and lots of friends, and she set up tents by the garden. So she was very, very well respected around the block.
But she was herself unhoused.
Correct. So, yeah, all I can give you is conjecture at this point. But I would imagine that, you know, once we got her on the board, she ended up getting hired, and she never came to any of the board meetings. And that was pretty disappointing. But also, where I come up with the joke, you know, what's the easiest way to kill an activist? You give them a job.
So the easiest way to keep activists activating is for the community to support their activism with some kind of funding.
Oh, that'd be even better. Yeah, that'd be the way to go. I mean, with the society, that's why more people who have a heart and who want to do more can't, because they're already obligated to having a job, having to pay for the overhead of their roof over their head and food and taking care of the kids and making sure they go to ballet and sports and, you know, living life and enjoying life.
So, what's your strategy as the master schemesman of the homeless activist movement, the Monterey County Homeless Advocates, the Homeless Union, whatever happened to the Homeless Union,
yes,
to deal with this upcoming deportation that's going to affect several hundred people?
Well, as soon as I heard about it, saying on the 1st of March, saying that in 3 weeks everybody's going to get split out, I said, well, do you have a place that anybody can go? No, of course not. What do you think about replacing the 6 to 6? You know, where they could camp and at night, but not during the day. And
where's 6 to 6?
That was the past ordinance, where we can stay at the flagpole. They're not going to reinstate it specifically because we can be on public spaces, including City Hall. And he told me that directly. So I said, okay.
Who's he?
Who is he? Oh, Don Reynolds.
Who is he?
He is the Assistant Public Works Director for the City of Salinas.
So you wouldn't expect him to do that, but what is going to be your new strategy? Are you going to arm the homeless with pitchforks and cameras?
Cameras is definitely the way to go. Everybody should be videoing everything anyway from the first time they ever see them roll up until they go away. Because a lot of, you know what, they are not following their own ordinance as it stands, so specifically videoing for that purpose, we can get them liable, civilly liable, and sue for damages. So at this point, we do need everybody.
Sue for damages with the non-existent lawyers?
No, we do have another set now. The California Rural Legal Assistance Program has reached out just to explain that they are available, to help out with other services they already do for housing and such. And
have they ever helped a homeless person in a lawsuit in the last 5 years?
I think they're taking this as an issue. I think the answer
is no, but now they're going to take it as an issue?
More than likely. I don't know about the last
one. The answer is no, but now they might take it as an issue.
As far as this PR
for the California Rural
Legal... As far as I understand, little boy.
Getting a little personal here.
Stop stealing the mic from me, and maybe I'll be able to finish your question. But
I don't want the PR. I want the specifics.
So the CRLA and another law firm are looking at going and making a federal lawsuit again against the unconstitutionality of the homeless ordinance.
And you know this because?
She says so.
Who says so?
Phyllis Katz, who is an attorney for the California.
When did she tell you this?
On Friday.
So this is the latest wrinkle, is her statement. They're looking at the issue. Is that correct?
I have also met the other law firm. So... You got to realize everybody moves slowly because they get paid to just show up. They don't get paid to work. Are you kidding me?
No, I'm not saying that. I'm just wondering, one does not want to give false hopes to people who are getting screwed, nor do you want to give false hopelessness either. I agree with that. But still, I want to know what concretely is going on. Now, for example, there is a lawsuit in the Bay Area, as you know, Caltrans has a lawsuit.
And still, no, I haven't had anybody come forward on that one yet.
And I think the people are interested up there in getting people who have been fucked with by Caltrans, had their property taken. At least I think Ocean Newman is. I know him personally. I think he's up for that, although lawyers are always lawyers, and you can never be sure. If, you know, they're in such a privileged position that you don't know what the hell they're going to do next.
That's why I guess I do appreciate what Prince has done in the past. He's been able to help bridge us along, and now CRLA seems to be more the person to look to at this point, or the organization to look to more than Prince.
If I weren't so tired, I would wrangle with you some more there, Wes. Any other thoughts about Salinas you want to pass on?
Well, we also have Salinas Tent City. We have tried the same way as Santa Cruz. They're rejecting housing first and all this nonsense. So they're actually widening the gap, pushing people out, and kicking people in the gap. So, yay. So I did confront them about, you know, what about even...
Confront who?
The city. At this downtown community board meeting, there were two people from the city there. And I brought up, well, why can't we just permit people for where they're at and just allow them to be there and, like, give, you know, every week go check on them, make sure they don't have a pile of trash anywhere, and that they've been doing whatever with the pee and the poo, and making it go in the proper place. No trash, no pee and poo. And sign up for services. That's it. Everything else should be taken care of through the services. But there again, I mean, you know, they shut that down too.
You know, it seems to me that this approach, speaking as an intellectual abstracted from the battle who is not doing anything at all on this issue, really, except writing about it and talking about it, is... And rather than asking these people or begging these people or talking reason to these people, which there's nothing wrong with doing that, provided you are also simply saying, okay, you're talking with the other people who are impacted by this, saying, we want to get together a platform of what we demand on this situation, and then go out and organize for it, both among the people who are impacted and presumably their liberal supporters who are feeling guilty or want to do something about Trump or whatever the hell the latest thing is.
Well, you know, like you said, the local Trumpsters that are in office here in Santa Cruz, kind of the same difference down in Salinas. What does bother people and is a good selling point is, look at all the stuff you just gave to all these people, and now the city just stole everything and is thwarting your efforts to actually take care of people. And that it does. It really burns quite a few people.
My point, though, is you don't, instead of spending your time going to the meetings of the city hacks who are going to give you the same answer they gave you a year ago and 2 years ago and whatever, you put together the specifics that anticipate these answers, and then you bring that program to the community and say, fuck the city. You know, I mean, you could bring it to the city officials too, but, you know, you pretty know pretty much what they're going to say, unless you have power behind you. So that's always been my approach. I live it this way. Not been my approach. It's been my theoretical idea, my denunciation of those hardworking activists who are, like myself, babbling at city councils.
Well, you know, another thing would be like trying to do another flagpole community even at a church or something, a parking lot there. And maybe, I mean, through our Salinas Tent City, we just got a nonprofit number. So we're certainly looking for more charitable donations that are tax deductible. And please, people that have enough money to be able to donate and be generous, which is great. Now I can't remember where I'm going with that.
It's okay. You've done a fine job. And we'll allow you a few months to get your memory back, or maybe a few weeks. We've been talking...
Oh, okay. Yeah, right, because through Salinas Tent City, that means we can do this in multiple places, not just only the one church. But, I mean, that's kind of what we've already been doing. But man,
well, because you have a non-profit, that's going to make some magic magic show up?
Maybe for trash cans and porta-potties. You know, and then just start relegating and regulating, you know, pretend a little bit. Just like I said, it's just only them two weak little rules. Trash and PM food.
There's nothing wrong with providing those facilities to existing encampments, but if they're destroying the existing encampments with the laws and the enforcement and they're cutting you off at the pass is the problem.
Well, you know what though? If we build it and it's not terrible, then maybe they'll leave it alone. And I mean,
they're about to destroy People's Park in Berkeley, as you may or may not be aware.
People's Park?
Yes. Because so they're proposing building housing on the People's Park.
People's Park?
Right.
That was a place where the Black Panther Party was part of People's Park growing up?
Probably, yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
At least the earlier Black Panther Party in the 60s, late 60s, they were having enough trouble defending themselves against the police and COINTELPRO and getting shot down and that sort of thing.
But they ran around a whole area and People's Park was a part of it because of the college that was there. The radicalization that was going on with Berkeley.
Yeah, okay, yeah. And we've been listening to the analysis of
Wes White
and
Fred.
Thank you both, not to mention my incredible pungent comments.
And that was a conversation with Wes and Dredd after the two of them came over from Salinas on hearing of the forbidden fence going up around the post office to drive away food not bombs. Or perhaps, this is the latest claim that I've heard at least from one employee or person who said she was an employee of the post office, they're simply doing construction and they have to protect people from, falling paint cans. I'm not sure what the story is. We'll learn more about it. But there has been a concern that the place at the corner of Pacific Avenue and Water, where the town clock is, where the post office is, it's on the post office side of the street, where Food Not Bomb serves every Saturday and Sunday from 4 to 6, has been fenced off, at least the area closest to the postal building, including most of the steps where people have been sitting, particularly under the eaves when it's raining. That's where Food Not Bombs goes to serve food. And that's often also where homeless people go to sleep at night to get out of the wind and the cold. That has been removed, as, for example, have areas under the bridges, where they have meshed off areas you can't comfortably be under most of the bridge areas in inclement weather or even clement weather. Anyway, Wes and Dredd came over to video this and also to support the beautification campaign that Food Now Bombs and others in the community got together to do to decorate the forbidden fence, essentially to mock it, to stigmatize it, to characterize it as a kind of a really vicious anti-homeless kind of architecture. And that's out of which this interview grew, though we didn't really talk about the fence at all.
we pay new attention as we look at the world with a brand new lens in it. Face the vast complexities in this global human fabric. And there's something real in this place and time that wraps itself around your mind. And you can see, you can see, you can see the imperfections that bind us all together. Whoa, whoa, oh, oh, oh. We're growing from it. Whoa, whoa, oh, oh, oh.
And that was Ryan Harvey, Growing From It, from his album Ordinary Heroes. You're tuned to the stream, of free radio at freakradio.org. I'm Robert. This is Bathrobespierre's Broadsides. Be with you for another hour. While I'm talking to you, you should be aware there is another meeting happening that you might want to go to. I don't know if I really would recommend it. It is a meeting in the Beach Flats, supposedly to get input on a new police chief to replace Kevin. I didn't know the ice was there, even though he's been sitting in my police station since 2009, Vogel. This is the same guy that I've requested records from on his communications between ICE and the Department of Homeland Security and his own department from January and February, and have been told by the secretary, the administrative staff at the city council, that they need another 10 days to figure it out and to look for it, even though they've had 2 weeks already. Anyway, Vogel is retiring in June, on June 2nd, and they're looking for a new police chief, they say, if they haven't already found one. The main man that does this is city manager Martine Bernal, and apparently it wasn't very well attended yesterday. This is the second forum. The first one was yesterday at the so-called community room of the police department. That's the room that they locked the alternate media out of when they tried to come to the press conference on who shot Sean Arlt, why, and why couldn't it have been avoided, and what's this lethal shooting stuff from last October, where they recently did this sort of wash it all away, everything's okay, a presentation by Kevin Vogel, which, as I said, excluded the alternative media and the public. Although you get to see afterward what they said by going online to the police department's website and seeing their presentation. But you don't get to ask any questions, of course. You can ask questions tonight from 7 to 9. It's going to be at the Beach Flats Community Center. They're doing a survey, apparently, of the community. They want to get some input on what the shortcomings are in the department, what the hiring priorities are. I kind of thought about going to the sort of chapter one of this that happened last night. This is chapter two happening tonight. It's going to be at the Beach Flats Community Center at 1333 Lee Brandt Avenue. It's actually starting now, if I estimate my time correctly. It goes from 7 to 9 tonight, March 16th, again, at 1333 Beach Flats Community Center, Lee Brandt Avenue. And I've often spoken about particular concerns I have about the police department, and we've protested and raised issues and distributed flyers and tried to get the community active around the issues of such things as selective enforcement of laws against poor and homeless people, essentially kind of class law, enforcement of class law against the community, the fact that officers don't live in their community and they should, massive amount of money that goes to the police department compared with, let's say, social services in this community, in the city anyway, the particular crackdown and stigmatization of homeless people as criminals, the drug war nonsense and the militarization that's happening in the police department, all these are issues that should be raised And I don't know that either the yesterday's forum or today's forum is going to be publicized. And it probably somebody should be down there recording it, but I doubt it's going to be me. I'm spending the afternoon preparing this show, and I'll probably be quite uninterested in another foray out there tonight, but we'll see. You can, however, check it out. It's happening now, or now means 7 to 9, at the, again, Beach Flats Community Center, 1333 Liebrandt. This is to get opinions on what the replacement for outgoing Chief Kevin Vogel should look like. Apparently a dozen people, according to the Sentinel, turned out last night and supposedly turned the tables on City Manager Martine Brunel, saying they wanted to hear what his hiring priorities are and what shortcomings he sees existing in the department. I don't know if this was criticism from the right or from the left, and that they're not being fascistic enough, or that they're being too heavy-handed, or what, you know, inaccessible, or possibly they're revealing too much. Who knows what the deal was? I wasn't there, but you can be, so check it out if you'd like. Last Saturday, when I guess a day or two before, the forbidden fence had gone up around the main post office in Santa Cruz, I kind of raced down there because I was told Food Not Bombs was going to sponsor a Decorate the Fence event, which they did. And I heard also in a phone call that the police were on the scene and that possibly they were going to attempt to uglify the situation. But that really didn't happen. They did, however, run into a few interviews down there, which I'm going to play now. And you're going to get to run into them as well.
I'm down here at the Food Not Bombs meal on Saturday, which is eating as usual. There, of course, for the first time, is a large chain-link fence all around the post office area, at least halfway down the block, and then walling off the steps. Food Not Bombs is serving. There's a large Food Not Bombs banner on the fence. There are numerous signs. Sleep deprivation is torture. We have met the enemy. And he is us. All lives matter. Freedom sleepers. There's a number of variety of other signs on the fence. I can go get some more and post them. So they may be taken down. And there are some milk crates here, there is, of course, the milk crate menace. Tell me about that, Julie.
Apparently, Ricardo Lopez, one of our favorite downtown musicians and artists, had been arrested. I don't know the details, but now I'm sitting on a milk crate downtown Santa Cruz, and my family's concerned I may be arrested for that, but I'm trying to eat my food. But I have something even more interesting, is the fact that there is a war on the poor on the west side, lower west side anyway, that I'm aware of. And we were at Seaside Wash and Dry yesterday when a loudspeaker...
We'll hear about that in a moment, but first on the milk crates. Ricardo Lopez was reportedly either arrested or cited for sitting on a milk crate while playing the guitar in front of the Palomar Hotel, if that's where he usually was. I wasn't there when it happened. I don't know the exact location. And I covered this a little bit, I believe, at least the mentioning the fact that police are now using some archaic stolen milk crates, where people who are using milk crates to sit on suddenly become accountable for them as their property or something. And in order to deal with the cutoff in sitting space caused by the fencing of the post office, apparently somebody supplied about 30 or 40 milk crates, which people began to sit on instead, and that's what Julie was referring to. But then she began talking about problems on the west side, which I think are also important. Attacks on homeless people, discriminatory practices that are suddenly becoming harsher. And let's hear about that.
Started booming insults at my minor children, saying that we were not welcome there, that we were vagrants. And so I had a 20-minute diatribe with somebody who would not present their face or their name, other than the fact that they were the owner of Seaside Wash and Dry.
Tell us where that is.
That's going to
His name is Brian Lord. We did a search on him, and there's a lot of long history. He's worth B-R-Y-A-N-L-O-R-D if anyone wants to look him up. That's going to be on Mission Street in Santa Cruz, 1911 Mission Street. And I've been receiving reports from other patrons of the other laundromats along Mission Street, which may be Supersuds. And then we have Seaside, Wash and Dry, University Wash. And so I don't know about the other locations, however, you can be heard. All your conversations will be listened to by Brian Lord over at the Seaside.
Will he be paying you for this privilege?
I have the whole entire communications documented and audio taped and videotaped, and I'd be more than happy to get that uploaded. And I'm sure I've addressed the question that you just asked me, and we can go ahead and let Mr. Lord speak for himself in our audio and videotape, because he answered a lot of questions. I got a lot of information. He was very forthcoming with a lot of data.
Fucking forthright, right? Get the fuck out of here.
Well, what his whole agenda is all about was pretty obvious, transparent. So Mr. Lord has no problem with opening his mouth and inserting his foot, I think, in a lot of legal basis, which I think the ACLU would be very interested in hearing what Mr. Lord has to say about his surveillance setup there.
Very interesting. And we've been talking with
Julie Shaw, Santa Cruz Full-Timers.
And have you posted this on your Facebook page?
Oh, my gosh. We have so much recording and data that there is a intentional digital divide at a lot of the coffee shops where they've taken away electricity and Wi-Fi access for the lower quality phones. So if you get one of those Obama phones, they have it set up so that you can only use their free Wi-Fi services if you have a higher end cell phone.
5 gigahertz capable.
So it has to be 5 gigahertz capable, which a lot of people in poverty don't have access to that, which increases their digital divide. So a lot of the Wi-Fi has been switched over to the higher end Wi-Fi only. So it knocks a lot of people out of the ability to send and receive data and get information. So we are going to have to probably go up to the University of Santa Cruz, which is open to the public, at the McHenry Library, and use their free electricity and their free Wi-Fi to get this done.
Well, I hope you do. And once you do, where can people find this information?
Through your website. That's going to be at HUF, which is Homeless United for Friendship.
Really?
Bathrobe.
If you give me the link, I might be able to get it up, yes.
And we have a lot of communications and a lot of audio and a lot of video. We have to be really careful about what we upload and everything like that. So if we have any attorneys that would love to get in on this action, it might be helpful. Maybe Steve Plage with the Santa Cruz Homeless Persons Legal Project might want to go through all of our audio and video to make sure that we're not crossing any boundaries.
Fair enough.
Alrighty. How you doing?
Woman needs dog.
He's got the food there. That's his thing. Where's your puppy's at?
Mine are over there.
They have a nice crate. Good. Did you see that over there? The little.
Oh, not much on my end.
We're talking with
long hauler. I haven't, I haven't witnessed much because I usually stay at night in Uptown and in the morning, and I come out here between mid-morning and afternoon.
No hassles?
Not yet. Although, we did get a couple of dirty stink eyes, according to David, but the
David's
rest of the
partner?
David's my partner. And, but nobody really,
no tickets.
Had any problem with us. No tickets.
No move-alongs.
Yeah, no move-alongs because, you know, we don't squat. We actually just pack it and go. We break camp in the morning, and we bring it all with us. We don't leave anything behind.
How much stuff do you have?
Well, if you look at those trailers over there, That big industrial trailer with my box and trailer, little wolf sitting out there in front.
So you're. So we're looking at two vehicles. We have driven by two bicycles. One of them's, I'd say, about 9 feet long, including the bike, maybe longer, 10 or 11. The other is about 7 feet long. This is your movable home.
Yeah, it is. So it's basically my house car, if you will.
and we're getting the occasional honk as people drive by. No police here, though. I heard earlier they were here. Did you see any action while you were here? Or?
No, not really. But over by the city hall, I saw rangers kind of clustered about talking, it looked like. But it didn't look like there was any real trouble. They just clustered about.
Did you demand they disperse as an illegal assembly?
No, I haven't thought of that. I should have. But I'm not the one with the badge.
Very true. But you are the one with the voice and perhaps the right on your side.
Well, yes, I would hope so. Then again, it seems like we're losing our civil liberties, and we have been for quite some time. At least the illusion of such a concept. I'm not really sure what's true and what isn't. But also, I read in a magazine that certain government style philosophies like liberalism, communism, fascism, and all that stuff is all bad, so it's all worked out bad. And also the weak get
crushed
to death sometimes.
Starved out.
Frozen, yep. That's
your property
right.
Destroyed or confiscated?
Oh, yes, all of the above. Yeah, you know, the strong, i.e. the rich, are basically trampling and killing the weak. That's basically, it's a system based on predation. So, and communism is like, it's a system that turns on you. As soon as they get into power, they turn on you.
Now, what do you see happening in Santa Cruz, if anything?
Because
we have a shitty council meeting in 2 days, but I'm not even sure what they're doing.
It seems like, well, I don't know, because the Rangers and the cops, well, they're okay with us, I suppose. They don't allow people to take up a lot of space on the sidewalk, which our bikes and trailers unfortunately do, and that's impractical and inconvenient because you got to turn around on this in this narrow radius to get off the sidewalk. And I always say I don't really like parking here. And then there was a very good reason not to, and that was when I saw a traffic cop in light blue.
Always a warning sign.
Always with the warning, or not warning, but just saying that, you know, that you shouldn't walk the sidewalk. It's not, you know, the place to park.
And we have been talking with?
Long Hauler.
Thank you, Long Hauler. Should be on free radio maybe tomorrow. So watch your step. We're talking with
Timothy.
Timothy, you have word from Los Angeles.
Yeah, it was just a YouTube video I was watching. I don't know how recent it is, but this guy Elvis Summers, I think that's his name. I know the first name is Elvis. But he like built these $1,200 houses for the homeless after he met this old woman that was like homeless on a street, and she was basically sleeping in dirt and stuff. And so he made these $1,200 houses and gave them out to the homeless and did this, you know, crowdfunding thing and raised all this money and was giving them out and got like construction people to help with the labor and stuff. Then the city came in and confiscated them all along with the people's stuff the same day they announced their own alternative housing program. But yeah, I thought it was a pretty gutsy move. It's a pretty interesting video you can find on YouTube.
And where should people look for it? On YouTube.
I think that in the title, it's like $1,200 houses is in the title.
Fair enough. And we've been talking with
Timothy.
Thank you, Timothy. Well,
I've been looking up housing solutions.
Good.
That might be almost soon.
So I'm talking with this is Bob, and we're going to comment on the post office fence of March 2017, which is screwed into the cement. This was well planned and well placed so that it would remain permanent. They might change the fence for something more fancy, but this thing is here to stay, in my opinion. There's a gate at the other end for handicap access, ACA access, and various gates throughout it. But this was planned out, plotted, and here it is. And the reaction, I think, needs to be said, well done.
What has that reaction been?
The reaction has been, okay, you want defense? Here are some signs for your fence.
And,
here is the Food Not Bombs with over 100 people, 150 today. Okay, wouldn't you say? 150?
I haven't counted.
Yeah. I mean, I would ask Keith at the end, Robert, but this is very successful. You've seen a lot of the old-timers. I think it's pretty cool. Some of them, yes.
I do, too.
Yeah.
Thank you, Bob. Any comments for Free Radio?
Well, I don't feel comfortable over here at all. I mean, I feel like, I'm really a homeless person, and I feel like when I come over here, the people that are here don't even want me here,
You mean the city or Food Not Bombs?
The people that are here, having food and the city too. I mean, I find it's hard for me to find a place to sit down on a bench, to stay there, or just a place to be, And whether it's cold or whether it's, too hot in the sun or whatever, I can't find a place to sit too tired to go over to the library, and I've heard it's really too contaminated inside, for a person to, be comfortable. And even when I sit on a bench, I just spray them with some type of disinfectant, so, I don't get sick. I mean, if I don't spray it, it's like my legs start to itch right away, or whatever.
I noticed you got your stuff protected, covered with black plastic.
Yeah.
And it looks like, you are really almost like a beast of burden. You have so much stuff with you that, well, let's put it this way. People live in houses have 100 times as much stuff.
Yeah.
But you're carrying your house with you.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I put some plastic over them to protect them in case of rain or whatever. Basically, so they stay dry, Santa Cruz is, it can cloud up and rain in an hour, On a really clear day, I've been, when I used to have a car, I'd go over to Capitola once and I fell asleep in my car at 7 o'clock. I could see all the way to the horizon. It was clear, no clouds in the sky at all. I woke up like 2 o'clock in the morning and the rain was coming in horizontally. That's how much of a storm it was,
Yeah, that was quite a storm.
Yeah.
I've seen you downtown sitting on a bench, and indeed, your stuff often does pick up the rest of the bench. Have you been troubled by any kind of harassment or complaints about this?
Well, usually when people, sit down on a bench, most of them are, as far as I know, they're tourists, whatever, so they have places to sit. They have chairs of their own, where they can sit. And the same thing with the bathroom, And I mean, try to use the bathroom on, SoCal and Front Street, that one right there, and the parking lot area.
Yeah,
people are coming in, they're taking drugs, and there's like 2 or 3 girls in one stall, and they're, talking, blah, 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 and I don't know if they're, prostitutes only or drug dealers or both or whatever, but it's really, it's really unsafe for someone like me. Or I'm really homeless, I'm saying that there's a lot of
people. You are a homeless woman, and you're pretty much alone?
Do you
have a community of people that you, can get some protection or comfort from?
I feel like there's so much abuse, there's so much, animal abuse, and there's so much child abuse. It's like I wanted to...
Not to mention woman abuse.
Well, yeah, but I mean, if the animals and the children are abused, what are they going to do?
It's easier to go after a small child or an animal than a person who's, your size.
Yeah, it's true. But, people who abuse others in public, what are they going to do? They're going to abuse in public. I was walking down the street, one day, and there was a little kid in a buggy. It was actually blue. They used to call him, in olden times, they used to call him Blue Bloods, But I think they were so cold, you know, and the mother didn't care, whatever, shouldn't walk around, you know, the hair and cuts, and, no, you know, just clothing that's not warm enough, you know. And
I heard recently of a man who died of hypothermia called Michael Mears. Have you heard of him?
No, but I wouldn't be surprised because it gets really cold at night, you know, and of course it was really cold during the day, too.
Now, were you hassled for sleeping yourself in the last week or two?
Not directly, but I, you know, I always, you know, when people come around, you know, like last night there was a guy, who, you know, where I sleep, you know, he came in and, you know, I don't like him there because it's not nice. And, you know, it's like I don't even want to tell him because I'm afraid they're going to hurt me, you know, physically, you know. And so, but anyways, I feel sorry for the animals, and there's so many that are, you know, I mean, I go to CVS, but I get the supplemental security income. I don't know why they call that, because it's my only income. But anyways, you know, I go to CVS, they have, you know, little things that dogs put on sale for 70 cents.
How much you get a month, and how much you have to spend a month?
Well, I get less than $1,000 a month, and that's my total income. And I have to spend so much on clean supplies, you know. I mean that's immediate.
Supplies would be.
It is. It's immediately.
What would supplies be?
I have that. Like Lysol spray, you know, any kind of disinfectant. You know, because
washing laundry, things of that sort.
Oh sure, you know, and I have to go all the way up to Branch Ferry Water. I have to walk up the hill, you know.
Have you had any trouble with discrimination at laundromats?
Yeah, a lot of people come in, you know, are really verbally abusive, verbally threatening.
What about the owners of laundromats?
Oh, I don't know who the owners are.
I mean, has the manager ever come up and said, we don't want you homeless people around or anything about that?
They haven't said it to me directly, but there, you know, there's people there that, so you know, are really dangerous. You know, people from a lot, too, and I don't know why they would go there because they have their own laundry facilities or should. You know, any time that I've gone there, you know, it's like, oh, wow, the dryers in there, they smell so bad, you know. And the washing machines, you know, they're all stained on the inside, you know. And there's, like, on the dryers, they have, like, broken windows, and it does not work, and blah, 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 blah. And,
ever used the meal services at St. Francis Soup Kitchen?
Well, I used to, but there's a lot of people that have come from Poconip area, and they have daggers. You know, knives right on the side of their pants and so forth. It's like, oh, wow, you know, it's so dangerous.
Have you ever been threatened by anybody with a dagger?
Not directly.
Mm-hmm.
But it's so dangerous, you know, indirectly, you know, because they're, you know, there's so much into drug use and so forth.
And what do you think of the Food Now Bomb's food?
Well, it's varied for me, you know. It's, I mean, you know, sometimes it's like, oh, wow, what is it? You know, it has hardly any flavor to it. You know, so it has very little nutritional value. But sometimes it's good. So,
you continue to come on occasion.
Well, yeah, it kind of like, you know, okay, but I feel really uncomfortable here. You know, and somebody's going to come to me and say I should leave or something, you know. Or
you should stay.
Yeah, I should be able to, you know. And so, you know, but, you know, and of course, like I said, you know, there's so much, you know, animal abuse and child abuse. So the animals who are, have on collars, you know, metal collars that dig into their necks.
Now, you don't have a pet of your own, right?
No, I used to have two dogs. And
how long have you been homeless?
It seems like forever, you know. About, let's see, the last apartment that I had, where, you know, that wasn't government subsidized or whatever, was in 1996.
In 21 years.
Yeah,
and let me leave it here. You want to say who we've been talking with? You don't have to.
My name's Roberta.
Of course. I'm sorry, Roberta. I forgot.
Yeah. So
that's, I'm Robert, so why should I forget Roberta?
Yeah.
I did anyway.
But anyways, that's, you know,
that's the story.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
And these were all interviews on March 11th, last Saturday. Quickie from Ryan Harvey.
Soldiers got the
watching. Farmers got the time. Soldiers got the capital. Farmers got the countryside. What you got? What you got? What you got? You're pretty far from home here. Soldiers got the helicopter. Farmers got the RPG. Soldiers got the propaganda. Farmers got the popularity. What you got? What you got? What you got? You're pretty far from home here. What you got? What you got? What you got? You're all alone here. And the ghosts of Brits and the ghosts of Russians, they haunt your dreams, don't they? This has happened before. It went the same way. What you got? What you got? What you got? You're pretty far from home here.
And that was Watches by Ryan Harvey. A few more interviews from last Saturday, and then a bit of poetry from Julia Vinograd of Berkeley, and that's going to be it for this edition of Bathurst Pier's Broadsides. But there'll be lots more on Sunday, so come on back then, and we'll have some stuff for you.
In case you ever get access to a computer, it'll still be there. So we're talking with
Michelle Belfield, meow, the tiger.
And Tiger, what's the latest?
God bless Robert Norris. I'm still above ground.
Definitely, God bless her. He's the man.
Oh, my God. God gets all the credit and glory.
House of food.
It's wonderful. We have tables and chairs that have been large.
And you have these illegal milk crates. This is a crime, having these milk crates.
You like the sound? Well, because they're sitting just everywhere.
I don't what?
They shit and piss everywhere.
Oh, I see. This stops the shitters and the pissers.
Yeah, that's what they need to bring that up.
Now, are you sleeping at night outside?
I'm outside. I just now got this thing back from shit. And where's my self-inflate, Matt? Where's my self-inflate, Matt? Oh, my God. Where did the...
So, any hassles the last week?
No. They leave me alone pretty much. They've
learned their lesson with you?
Yeah, they leave me alone. Okay, now, who's the producer? Sergeant is your back on, Dave.
Well, that's good news. Let me end it there for the moment. Unless there's something you want to add.
God bless you.
Thank you, man.
Sergeant got a patrol on. Who's the producer? And I'm dumb enough. You said what? And they fall and shoot tears on me one day.
You know, I'm interrupting you in the middle of your meal, and it's hard to hear you with your mouth full. You have some more food, and I'll talk to you later.
All right. Anyway, I'm grateful, blessed. Thank you.
We've been talking with?
Tiger, meow, meow.
Meow yourself. Thank you.
Hey, I'm Tiger.
Yes, go ahead, Florence. On tape.
Not on tape.
Well, we've got to have a minute to get this off tape. We'll know. Come on here. Talking with Viper. And Viper, you're a regular Freedom Sleeper as well as a fan of Food Not Bombs.
Yes, sir.
But you're also a man who got a large tent, which you told me was donated, slept in it along with, what, half a dozen other people?
Yes, sir. We had like seven people inside the tent, you and me, comfortably. And the ranger said they won't take it and get rid of it. They do not want me to have a tent up again. Not that size.
Is it any of their business if you have a tent up to protect your life and safety and that of the other people around you?
No, in some way I put up the tent for people who need shelter and somewhere to live.
And note also that he's talking about a tent that he put up It's either 2 or 3 weeks ago. Well, it was donated to him at the Freedom Sleepers Tuesday night sleepout. I think it was number 86 or 85. And it was then, they let him stay there that night, but then when he later had it, this is by his account, folded up, they came and confiscated it, said on the orders of the chief ranger, whoever, and then he couldn't get it back. Tents and sleeping bags and blankets are survival gear. To remove them is, to me, a criminal conspiracy to with sort of accessory to murder, if that's what eventually happens. It's certainly extreme negligence and callousness at the very best.
Do we have sleep outs or not? In front of City Hall or out here by the post office? We need people now.
Well, I understand that. I just heard an individual tell me that, wondering where are the tents for this. You're thinking there might be a sleep out here at some point.
Yep. We got enough people.
In fact, there are people who sleep here, were sleeping here every night in front of the post office. And now the post office has been fenced off. It's going to be a little more exposed and difficult.
No, just give me a pair of bolt cutters. I come down in like 3 minutes.
Fair enough. Anything you want to add about other things that have happened recently you think we should know about?
No, they just have a big pile of metal by tomorrow morning if they don't leave them or take them down.
Thank you, Lance. We have one more bit of news from
Julie Shaw. I talked to some gentlemen over on the west side along the highway who said that Caltrans threatened them and were going to take all their possessions. They did like a little mini protest. And then they asked me for the phone number for the ACLU, for the attorney who is doing the Caltrans action. And I gave them, I put them in communications, and then they did talk to them. And so they've made a connection.
That sounds very good. We expect further organizing on your part.
Okay, I'll try.
And your little
teeth. It's like corralling kittens.
If that dog bites me, I'm taking you into custody.
He doesn't really have any teeth.
No,
in
right.
the,
if gum, he nips
he might gum
if he,
you.
If he gums me, he's got it.
And there is, in fact, a lawsuit underway up in the Bay Area against Caltrans and its seizure of property. I'm not sure how quickly it's proceeding or what stage it's at, but talked about it on this show in the past. Maybe I can have some more information about it in the days to come.
This one here, you got these. Well, we won't get into that.
That one's a rat terrier. Watch out for that one.
Okay. I haven't seen any rats today, other than, of course, the uniformed rats. I haven't seen them. So.
Yeah, I haven't seen any rats either. Maybe that's why they have those gates. That maybe they've got some crazy like rat poison or something in there. Who knows? You know.
There could be a logical explanation.
Has anybody from the local government addressed this FEMA fence? The FEMA camp fence? Has anybody addressed it from the local government?
I just heard about it yesterday.
No response. Nothing. No comment.
Well, you're the person who's going to challenge it at the Tuesday City Council meeting. Are you not?
God,
in 2 days.
God willing.
or I should say Julie Willing. Yeah. Thank you, Julie.
And I was at the Freedom Sleepers outside, but there were very few speakers at the city council meeting. I may be playing some of them where you can actually download them or hear them from the video that's on the city's website, but I may play some of those on Sunday. The sanctuary law was essentially given a pro forma reading. I did interview Sandy Brown outside expressing my concerns about the weakness of the sanctuary city law that was provided by the city staff in order to essentially, to me, cover the police chief's ass, but maybe it will, and to stop, you know, the masses of people from coming and essentially stopping city council meetings with rage, or at least they did on one occasion do that, finally. And they were successful, the city was successful in stopping that from happening, not by, I think, meaningful legislation, but by token legislation and by cops locking the doors and lining the wall and so forth. Not at this last city council meeting, but the one before last, on February 28th. The one that happened on March 14th, there was a very small showing of people who came. I had gotten some information that some folks thought it was in the evening, and therefore that was one of the reasons they didn't show up. But then there was some contradictory information that maybe the folks who didn't show up were actually opposed to the sanctuary ordinance, not because it was too weak, but because it was unnecessary or too strong or an insult to the police or enabled illegal immigrants or something like that. A little more now from the dialogues outside the forbidden post office fence on March 11th.
I've got some fence taken down?
The fence has not been taken down yet, as far as I can see. Hey, Isaac. Any updates?
Well, you know, I'm out here supporting the community. And I heard about this fence. I had to come by and see it myself.
It's pretty offensive fence.
Pretty offensive fence. It looks like they're just trying to wipe out the homeless people. And once again, you know, you're wiping out people. And when you can solve the problem by making sure everyone has opportunity for accurate housing. And yeah. You know, I've been here for 11 years. I don't think I've ever seen anything like this in my life. And as a performing artist and spoken word and all that, it just gives a lot of fuel to be aware of these things, because this is not just happening in Santa Cruz. It's happening everywhere. And the fact it's happening here is to show you where the tides are turning.
Now, you're a man who, you're also known as Lyrical Eye.
Yes, sir.
Have you been lyrical eyeing on the street lately?
I come out on Friday. I came out this last Friday and performed. You know, I'm definitely being like, I'm probably going to try to come out a little bit more. Right now I'm just doing my homework and looking at what's going on in the community and seeing the effects and seeing how I can put that into the writing more.
How have you been received on the sidewalk? What have you seen on the sidewalk in the last week or two?
Well, yesterday, you know, I performed. You know, it's always interesting. I'm not dealing with the cops because I'm not performing in the daytime that much. So, you know, I do see the hostility towards the homeless and just the energy the way people are going with it.
And we've been talking with...
You've been talking to A.K.A. Isaac, A.K.A. Lyrical Eye, A.K.A. a person that's all about with the community and supporting the people that are doing the work as you, Mr. Robert Norris.
As you, Mr. Lyrical
Eye. Yes.
Mr. Isaac.
You sure. Thank you.
All right.
If this is really true, then...
So again, we're talking with
Long Hauler.
And Long Hauler, you read this flyer that I'm giving out, 1984 style laws, hit vulnerable homeless women. Your reaction?
My reaction is this. I hate the ultra rich. I hate them. They are all going to go to hell. There's going to be a special place for them in hell.
Well, they say, in the meantime, they're going to have a gay old time, unfortunately.
Yes, they are. They're going to have quite a good time before they get destroyed by the very being they claim to believe in.
Now, you also noted that you're concerned about folks protesting for LGBTQ rights and immigrant rights, which I support, and I imagine you may too.
I do too, yes.
But who's speaking out for the homeless? And looks like you and me, kiddo.
It's just us. And it's up to us to bring any citations through the court system. I just hope the ultra-right and neoliberal, which is also ultra-right and extremely predatory, we need to take them all through the court system, and I just hope they don't block us, that we don't lose the fight against torture.
Well, I'm afraid if we rely on the court system, we've already lost it, but we have to fight it, and I think you're right. I'm not sure what the best way is, but becoming more aware of what needs to be done puts us in a position better to get together and do it.
I hope I don't end up having to talk to Neil M. Gorsuch. Neil M. Gorsuch is the ultra-right-wing new Supreme Court judge, or he will be one piece.
I'm afraid you're probably quite accurate.
The problem is it's going to be next to impossible, but not impossible, to fight against the persecution and the criminalization of homelessness. The persecution of street poor and the criminalization of homelessness. It needs to end.
Now, you're living outside or in a vehicle?
I live outside.
And do you see any much chance of organizing folks who are outside into self-defensive groups or groups that might actively protest?
Yes. Seth, I don't know how to organize. I'll have to have training for that. And I've never conducted direct action, so I need training for that. It is something that is new to me personally. I always thought that heroes like Martin Luther King Jr. and Rosa Parks and all them were the geniuses in that department.
Well, you got to be the new genius, kiddo, because they ain't around anymore.
Yeah, I know.
You might want to come to the Huff meeting. Huff is Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom every Wednesday, 11 o'clock at the Sub Rosa, where you can have a cup of coffee and say hello.
And which street is Sub Rosa on?
If you know where the Yam Flower is, or if you know where the bike church is.
No, actually, I wouldn't remember where that's at.
No problem. Do you know where the Saturn Cafe is?
The what?
You know where Taco Bell is?
Yeah, it's up Pacific Avenue.
It's at Laurel and Pacific.
Laurel and Pacific.
You go a block beyond that toward the beach on the other side of the street, you find the Sub Rosa Cafe.
Oh.
I'll be expecting to see you there at 11 o'clock on Wednesday. Bring
okay.
David with you, or else I will grab you myself.
Okay. You will see us around Santa Cruz, either right downtown or somewhere in between downtown and uptown.
Sounds good. And thank
we'll
you.
Because we'll be riding. We always pedal in town, so.
Keep your eyes open, and you can also call the number at the bottom of the flyer if you have any reports on what's going on.
Yeah. I've noticed that 7 o'clock feels like the new 8, and we're still getting up at close to 8 o'clock in the morning, and we should be getting up at 7, because that's when it gets pretty warm.
True. We're getting daylight savings time tomorrow. So.
Oh, yeah. Oh, wow. Tomorrow. That's right. You're right. I remember that from the calendar, but I almost forgot. I mean, yesterday, today is mine and my partner's anniversary. We've been together for 2 decades. And
I got my work cut out for me.
Yeah, and yesterday I thought about it, and I almost forgot about it.
Well, get to it, girl.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. And again, we've been talking to you later.
Oh, you're quite welcome. And you're a great American.
To say the least. Thank you, Long Hollow. So I'm here, the man with his mouth full is eating this colorful variety of apparently vegan food, unlike your usual chicken soup at the Freedom Sleepers.
Yeah, well, we're here doing vegan food because it's food up on.
And, you know, I noticed you, of course, had an orientation last night about fighting back against the anti-homeless laws. Of course, you actually have my flyer on the table for the first time in history, at least recently. But that's the flyer about the vulnerable homeless women. What's been happening here today?
Well, we put a lot of objects, including cooking equipment, clothing, shoes, and signs and banners all over the anti-homeless fence. This is the anti-homeless fence decorating party. Of course, we're giving out vegan food to everybody. And we brought, like, milk crates for everybody to sit on and chairs.
Wait a minute. Milk crates are a felony, as well you know, Keith McHenry.
As well I know. And so pretty soon after we started putting stuff on the fence, a woman from the post office came out and I saw her taking down one of my signs. And I said, oh, you can't really take down my signs. And I put it back up. And she got really angry and took my picture and said she's calling the police. And then she came by again and took more photos of everything.
But not the sign.
She didn't take the sign. They just took it down. And then I put it back up.
Now, did she take the sign up and tear it into little pieces, put it on the ground?
It was on plastic at the time. You know, it's a laminated sign, so nothing you can do about it. So, and then I've noticed that there's cardboard in the shape of a mattress up in the area where you're not allowed to go, because where they've placed this fence to keep you from going up underneath the awning. And but apparently people are going up there anyway. And the odd thing is it's very hard for them to get in there to get rid of the cardboard that has been left as a mattress up there.
How long has the fence been up?
It was put up yesterday.
Do we know what time?
Yeah, they were doing it all day yesterday. Yeah, and then the other, yeah, this part. And then the other part,
The
part where the cardboard is was put up. They put up the day before, and then they also put up the part where the handicap ramp is yesterday as well.
Are they intending to fence off every building, do you think, downtown?
Yeah, I think what the idea is to fence off the entire world. and keep everybody out.
Well, we have heard about the joys of a gated community.
Yeah, but finally we do have a gated community, and it's beautiful. And it's really optimum for putting up signs and banners and things like that.
Milk crates sit right next to the fence.
Yeah, it's milk crates, and you can lean against the fence. And
but there's like a problem there.
It's a bigger party.
It is illegal, as you may know, to keep attention has been distracted by passing by. So we're going to leave this for another time.
Gabby, did you see somebody put congratulations on the?
No, I didn't see that.
So,
Adi, any responses? What do you think of all this?
I think it's wonderful. All the chain link fencing that they put around the library is full of signs, clothing, congratulations.
Kitchen implements.
Yes, kitchen, and just I think it's funny.
But today is also the time for the really free store. I'm not sure what it's called.
Dehydrated.
Really free market. A man is giving out dehydrated potatoes, but they're shocking. Shocking. Yeah, not even vegan. Get out of here, mister.
It doesn't have the sauce with it. It's just dehydrated potatoes.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
All right.
Yeah, because I'm helping Joe cook tomorrow.
What's happening here?
Get your socks if you need socks. Socks.
Oh, so I said cops. They're basically that really free market is on a blanket on the side of the sidewalk here. Actually, this is where the sidewalk comes, a huge, large cement circle. And people are getting socks, which is a key implement. Grant, what brought you over here today?
I'm helping out, but I'm also looking for somebody that I was going to give crutches to.
I wish you luck on that. I don't know who that was.
Michael Andrews.
Missing
your foot.
Michael Andrews. You heard about Michael Mears dying, right? You should talk to Keith about that. He might know them. If a guy died with had a foot problem, died of hypothermia 2 weeks ago.
Last night.
Oh, good. Well, he's still alive. That's good. Well, good luck in your quest. Anything? Any other thoughts about this?
I love the bulletin board.
The new sign. It's really, I think, very obliging of the city to put up a large bulletin board.
I think it's fantastic. Bulletin board. Fantastic.
I think it's... Yeah, I can't disagree, really. We've been talking with...
Grant?
That's your name. Okay. Thank you, Grant. So you're going to retreat when Food Not Bombs ends its meal and
I'm taking the stuff that's valuable to me away, and then I'll come back tomorrow and put it back up.
My goodness, you know, it's a repeat scofflaw here at the Food Not Bombs. So you're wearing a Food Not Bombs t-shirt. Are you involved in this organization?
Yeah.
A little bit, yeah.
And how have you been part of this conspiracy to essentially uglify the sidewalks with rats and poor people and things of that kind?
Well, I've been actually cooking the food that everybody's been throwing on the ground.
So, you're the criminal cook, one of the criminal conspiracy of cooks.
Absolutely. Uh-huh.
And how's it going?
Really well. I've been having a ball.
How long have you been doing this?
I've been in the kitchen for over a year. I've been cooking now for about 4 months. Didn't know I could. So it's been a wonderful surprise every time I go in the kitchen.
You were part of the sleeper cell that was activated by Food Not Bombs to put out this illegal food to the community.
Something like that. Come back out from the 60s digger community.
You're enabling these vandals and criminal types to come out and you're taking away business from the restaurants, for one thing.
I know. I see that.
But what, have you no shame?
I have no shame. You're right. I have no shame, yes.
Oh, there you are. You see, that's a real problem with people like yourself.
Yeah, and myself, I think that the homeless people should just go home.
Checking that out.
Now there you are. That's a brilliant solution. Why don't they do so? That, you know, I think that kind of, it's that kind of creativity we need. Not assisting the criminal masterminds who not bombs, but helping the city to deal with the, as we might have said, the homeless question. You may remember Germany dealt with the Jewish question. We have the homeless question here.
That's quite true. And so far, it looks like they're dealing with it in pretty much the same manner.
Well, fences have to protect the vital buildings that keep our system running, the post office.
Fort Santa Cruz.
Indeed. Well, you know, these are hard times. As our Fuhrer Trump said, or was it Fuhrer Clinton? I'm not sure. One of the two, they were saying, actually, I kind of forgot what they said, but I think you understand what I'm saying.
All too well.
Indeed.
All too well.
And we've been talking with, if you wish to give your name.
Oh, you can probably call me the Electric Beaver.
Okay, E.B. Thank you, sir. Anything you want to add, Keith, about this disgraceful episode?
So far, it's a lot of fun, and I'm enjoying it. I hope that everyone comes tomorrow and does the same thing.
So twice a week, we will have, say, 2 hours of a sort of democratic community, and the rest of the time, it's going to be...
chaos.
Well,
absolute chaos.
Well, regimented chaos, if you don't mind.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Well,
we do have our...